We didn't plan it this way, but I'm thankful that the gospel assigned for the annual meeting this morning is the Good Shepherd. It could have been Noah and the flood. It could have been Jonah and the whale. It could have been Daniel in the lion's den. I've got friends whose annual meeting text is Herodias asking for John the Baptist's head. There's a lot to be thankful for here, and I've been doing some research about shepherds. As it turns out, a good shepherd does know each member of his flock by name, though he's more likely to call them by distinctive monikers like Brown Spot or Short Ears, I'm told, than he is to call them something like Charlie or Stuart or Jane. In biblical times, sheep were raised for wool more than they were slaughtered for food, so knowing them by name was pragmatic. Apparently, sheep will stand still to be shorn if you call them something more particular than, "Hey, you." One also protects his investment if he knows his sheep well enough to spot an illness or a limp right away. Sheep are better off if they grow accustomed to his familiar tending, and so is the shepherd. This shepherd with the inviting voice who helps his sheep do what they were born to do reminds me of the unlikely hero of the movie Babe. As you may recall, Babe is a most surprising sheepdog because he's a pig, and he tames a rather fussy flock of sheep. They'd been terrorized by a dog who had grown angry and violent, and for their own safety and the good of the farm, Babe wins their trust through his quiet, patient care. He directs them through kindness instead of threats. It's obviously a fantasy. This exceedingly good shepherd is a bit too nice. "Pardon," he says to one obstreperous fellow, "if it's all the same to you, could you mind not getting in trouble anymore? Thanks." Sometimes a nip on the bottom is a better way to get sheep or one of us moving in the right direction. We know that. But the point is well taken. Good shepherds know their sheep and what they need, and the wise ones cajole more than they command. I believe Jesus does that too. Years ago, I asked a group of boys at St. Albans to describe God. What does God look like? What does God do? Not much happened, so we got out paper and I asked them to make a list of God's attributes, to sketch a description or draw a picture. Here's what they told me. God has long hair and a beard, wears sandals, and throws lightning bolts. They were messing with me, so I asked them, "What power does this image of God have for you?" And they looked at me, puzzled and silent. So I took a different tack. I asked them, "Write down the questions you have about life. Questions that bother you and don't seem to have any easy answers. Things you would ask God if God sat right down in front of you." Slowly, the juices began to flow. "Why do bad things happen to people who haven't done anything wrong?" they asked me. "Why is there evil in the world? What happens after you die?" I like this one. "Does God have a religion? And why does God take people away that you love?" We scribbled it all down on the blackboard, and I told them what lay underneath my question. I said, "Your image of God has got to do something for you. It has to have power if it's going to make any difference. The changes and chances of life provoke our toughest wondering. Why did my sister die? Why does my brother suffer from mental illness? Do I have a purpose here? Is this all there is? If your image of God is going to mean anything, it has to have currency where its value is most needed." So I asked the teenagers to try on a few images of God for size. What about the way? What about truth? What about the door? What about healer? Sustainer, redeemer. What about justice, mercy, peace? What about father and mother, shepherd and king. Each one is a story that we tell about God, of something which is beyond our orderly conceiving. By definition, none of them is complete. But how we talk about God is not an intellectual exercise. The image we construct or intuit gives us what we need to confront the darkness and loss that life hands us and our neighbors. The image we have of God helps us make sense of our strengths and vulnerabilities and to figure out how to use them for the good. The image we have of God gives us solace and a mission. And people with a mission grow personally even as they transform their city or circumstance. Any change that ever comes begins with a small voice saying, "Yes, I can." You know how the Good Shepherd works? He watches and listens and offers some guidance. She coaches and corrects and calls out our best selves. He holds and heals and puts his life on the line. She feeds and nurtures and inspires. The Good Shepherd invites mission in, into the deepest part of ourselves, and empowers mission out to serve. Well, this has been a year of mission at Redeemer, a year of mission out and mission in. And I want to tell you a whole bunch of stories. In music and worship, we added monthly Compline, led by a 14-member Scola. We invited community engagement partners as readers in our Lessons and Carols service. We worshiped twice with the Helping Up Mission Choir and welcomed choir schools from New Jersey and Connecticut. We heard early music and folk songs in the parish hall. We named Henry Lowe Music Director Emeritus and traveled last summer to England with 45 children and adults. The Choir School of Baltimore was launched, offering rigorous choral education and performance opportunities to young people who might not otherwise have it. The Friends of Music devoted a portion of concert offerings beyond our walls, strengthening Paul's Place and Safe Streets and hurricane relief in Puerto Rico. And twice, they presented parishioners' art on these walls. Next Sunday, we host our first Royal School of Church Musicians Choir Festival, and we'll offer monthly evensong next October to May. We've got so much to be thankful for, and thank you, Bert and Robert and musicians and choirs. We're broadening the concept of health and wellness in the Redeemer community. Caroline initiated the St. Luke Healing Ministry, training lay leaders to offer prayers at all three services on the first Sunday of the month, with the goal of expanding the ministry to every Sunday starting in the fall. The lay-led grief group, Sacred Space for Grace, was offered three times in six-week sessions. Caroline took a course in mental health first aid, and since she's trained 51 individuals in the parish and beyond with additional workshops on the calendar. And we've created an email group which now numbers 100 people dedicated to mental wellness. In May, we'll recognize mental health every Sunday through adult ed or in the liturgy. In June, Redeemer will co-sponsor a screening of the documentary Living While Dying, followed by a discussion led by the filmmaker. Contemplative prayer takes place two times each week with workshops throughout the year. Men's Fellowship, Women Who Wonder, Tuesday Group, Knitting, the Prayer Group, Vergers, Lectors, Limbs, Ushers, and the Rector's Bible Study round out our mission in. Thank you to all the group conveners, to Caroline and to Barb, who do so much to make our pastoral fabric strong. Christina is completing her second year as Associate for Community Engagement, and the fruit of her leadership is palpable. Redeemer became an official member of Build in January, and since then, over 24 parishioners have participated in issue action training focused on economic development, youth trauma, equity in mental health, policing, and community safety. Christina sponsored Lent to Go, introducing parishioners to community partners through site visits. And she's the glue that connects the weekly volunteers at Govan School, Habitat for Humanity Builders on McCabe Avenue, and Paul's Place hosts who, among other things, have made 39 casseroles since last June. Not to mention Gedco Cares Food Pantry, Good Schools Baltimore, Turnaround Tuesdays, Thread, The Ark, Asylee Women, 3 buses to the March for Our Lives in D.C., and 1,900 pairs of boots for Baltimore. Wow. Caring for Creation hosted a native plant sale in the lawn back behind us. They're going to invite us to dig into the garden outside on the campus today to celebrate Earth Day. And as Tom told us, they wrote a successful planning grant so that we can make our north parking lot green and no longer send dirty water down into our increasingly beautiful Chesapeake Bay. Thank you, Christina, and all of you who've said yes to the invitation to serve. This year, the Parish Day School, led by Mary Knott, enrolled 121 students ages 2 through pre-first and employed 19 faculty and staff members with an average of 13 years teaching experience. They completed a comprehensive curriculum self-evaluation, creating a guiding document for student growth. Always thrifty, the recent updates to the facility that Tom mentioned in replacing the cabinets in the halls, those were built in 1957 and they just replaced them. Good job. PDS continues to promote an environment that stresses kindness and the value of learning through mistakes and the important role our children have as unique individuals within a community. Thank you, Mary, the PDS faculty, parents, and students. Children and youth programs in the parish are growing, and this is in part a response to a question at last year's annual meeting. Children's Ministries Director Kathy LaPlante queried parents last year about our program and schedule, and changes have increased participation. Lesson plans are now coordinated with what parents are hearing in church. Start time is later, and attendance is up 36%. Youth Ministries Director Paul Smith has added the Redeemer Service Corps, involving our youth and others with opportunities to serve the community. RYG attendance is up in the last 2 years with emerging leadership among 7th through 9th graders. Maggie Clays led the cast of Annie, with Govan's, PDS, and Sunday School kids filling the floor in 3 performances. And I'm happy to announce that Matt Buck, son of the parish vestry member and Calvert Middle School head, will begin as our acolyte master this fall, bringing fresh vision and energy to this important youth ministry. Let's give thanks for our children and young people and all those who serve them. The Redeemer Voices Speaker Series was newly branded this year thanks to a strong steering committee, and we've added a program this May and June. Highlights include partnerships with the Pratt Library, the BMA, and a consortium of environmental groups. Join us in the coming weeks for, among others, Britt Kerwin, portrait artist Amy Sherrill, humorist Christopher Buckley, and columnist David Brooks. And I'm happy to announce that Molly Hathaway and Caroline Stewart will be coordinating Redeemer's Ministry of Planned Giving, which we're calling the Next Generation, and about which you'll receive a letter in the next few weeks. Another announcement is that Ellen Shatar, Director of Program, will be going on sabbatical May 2nd through August 6th. Ellen will do some traveling and spend restorative time with her family, and I've instructed her to change her phone number so that I can't find her while she's gone. Thank you to Ellen and to all the program support staff, to Darlene and Mark and Sean and Vu. Thank you. With Barb's incredible statistics, we know that Easter, Palm Sunday, and Christmas were the biggest in memory, and average Sunday attendance was 418. We have 1,000 Facebook members, and each week 500 distinct users open our eRedeemer reflection. Outreach giving has doubled from last year, and given the covenant fund created by the $1 million gift and already a third larger, our ability to serve the poor will deepen and broaden in the coming years. I would say The mission of the Church of the Redeemer is clear. We are bringing hope and healing to Baltimore. We're serving out. We're nourishing in like the good shepherd that we follow. So, what is your image of God? And what difference does it make for you and the people you encounter? If God is love, then there is no place for hatred. If God is justice, then the poor must be empowered and fed. If God is healing, then there is wholeness possible no matter how broken we may be. If God is life, then death is only a horizon beyond which our eyes cannot yet see. And if God is the beloved community, then let's build it together in Baltimore and here right now. Thank you for another good year.